Welcome back to Hour 9 of Scratch Watch, your only source of the Fallow Crown sleep scritches. Hosted by me, the only anchor willing to stay awake in case something interesting happens. I'm joined, as always, by the completely still and lifeless body of Paige Theodoreau, who just kind of turned himself off. Now he's just sort of sitting there, like a constant reminder of my ostracization as a social piranha. Sarge sleeps in two-hour intervals he calls snap shredding, punctuated with wind sprints and the eggiest protein shakes I've ever seen, resulting in wind breaks with the eggiest protein farts I've ever smelled. The break room smells like a beer-battered paper factory with a side of rotting cabbage. Normally I'd be devastated by losing access to my lunch, but somehow I think my egg and ambrosia salad sandwich just isn't gonna quite do it for me today. Rusty just kinda left. Regular time at all. Clocked off like the world isn't coming to an end. I can see him now, nestled into that micro-king bed. One time I asked him if he was being self-racist by ordering a king size to be half-length. He talked for 6 hours about race relations. So, if you're hoping I had an answer for you, too bad. Yeah, Yavo scratched his balls! Jester, 20 points to the Withering Faker! Ha ha, I knew he had balls. Let me tell you, they gotta be some brass ones for him to warp his entire party into the Aether Wastes of Error using the power of dreams. Two sleep toots for Nelly, 5 points apiece. Gaspar sleeps like the dead. Surprising, given his fresh skin suit and walking papers. Usha's been steadily seeping seawater, which is pooling around Halifon, which has in turn drawn crabs, which, as you might imagine, has drawn gulls, and those are being circled by some kind of giant lizard hawk. I'm not convinced this was an accident on Usha's part. Chesty, put up an ass scratch for Hal, and, let's call that an in-betweener. It's hard to tell from the angle, but I know that look of satisfaction like I know my own baby. There's no way to tell how long this long rest will be for the Fallow Crown, but I'm guessing they're pretty well tuckered out.
And so am I. Oh.
I'm going to take a little fat nap. Wake me when Rusty enters the building and, go ahead and throw me on the board. See if I can catch up to Isadora. Show him how pro does it.
If you're thinking, I should go for a run today, but it looks like it could rain, Sierra says save on epic rain jackets. If you're also thinking, but I can't go out in these beat-up old running shoes, Sierra says save on top brand running shoes. And if you're still thinking, but I'm also busy performing brain surgery, well then we say, you really should have led with that. Sierra, let's get moving to your local store, like now. Go!
You wake to the chaos of the Aether Wastes. In the distance, as in your dream, the tower can be seen, as though the intervening space were meaningless. But it is in this place, at the edge of the outer real, that the infinity of error makes itself known. All around you, matter has forgotten the rules that govern it. In risen mounds, thick hedges of forest growth flow like rivers towards the axis. Waters rise uphill before leaping into the sky. Still flames lie in crackling puddles throughout the landscape, and everywhere, life has taken on the abstract. Chimeric forms lurk in shadows cast by no source of light. The sky shimmers with flocks of beaked snakes whose eyes can see for miles. Insects with the faces of men whisper conspiratorially as they construct cathedrals and monuments in your image and honor. All of it, too real to be certain of its impossibility, and just plausible enough not to be a trick of the light. Your camp is strewn with maps, compasses, sextants, and other tools of the cartographer's trade. Some devices seem to defy logic in much the manner of the surrounding landscape. These your mind chooses not to remember, your eyes passing them onto more rational and comforting fare. The crackle and smell of bacon is snatched from a moment of lucidity. You are drawn to a familiar man cooking a breakfast in a large iron skillet. He is a study in earth tones. Hair like volcanic soil streaked with veins of silver tumbles in tight curls over his honey brown eyes. His chestnut skin silken and dewy in the gentle morning heat, he smiles a lonesome smile and tilts his hungry works onto plates for his unexpected guests. You walk the dreams as I walk the Aetherways.
We knew we would meet again soon. I did not.
Well, you are who we need now.
Am I?
We have been tasked with a great undertaking.
Aren't we all?
We would be lost trying to find our way here. We need a cartographer.
Where do you go?
I hold up the bell. Where it leads.
I make for the inner real. I will be passing by the Pale Bastion. I suppose I could help you. But I think I need something in return.
That seems fair. Do you have anything in mind?
Tales have spread of a traveler that is capable of ending the blight, freeing them of their curse.
Tell me of this blight.
Scions who have lost their tenets lose their minds and their bodies to something horrible. It is the way of the Scion. But you, I hear, have ended such a curse.
I just came to understand these tenets in a new light, one that I control.
Then perhaps you can help me.
One favor for another seems fair. We are lost here.
Of course.
Though I do not know of this power to heal you speak, I can always do my best.
It is not healing that I am looking for. The ending of the curse. That is all I need. But we can deal with such things later. For now, eat. Rest. You look horrible.
Way ahead of you.
As you sit and break into this repast, you all realize the extreme exhaustion that you feel.
We have been through a great deal of things, both physical and emotional. Rest would do us well.
I am in no rush.
Iovos will take open the satchel from the gathering of supplies in Abel and make sure they're distributed.
You each receive one potion of supreme healing, and you also receive one magical item of your choice that is not an artifact. And isn't dickish.
No, my enchanted dick.
Why don't we go around the table and hear what everybody's gotten?
So, no rods. Right, can't be dickish.
Nothing to say. A movable
dick.
It's a heck of an item.
Talk about a figurine of wondrous power.
Fuck, all the magic items are dicks. I'm just going to go simple. Get some bracers of archery.
Nice.
I'm gonna hit things.
I like it.
Also simple and effective, Wuxia is going to get a ring of protection in the form of a big fish hook with a sapphire set in the end of it that he just pierces right through his lip.
I like it.
I like it too. Hal got rid of his old Aetheltoan war mud encrusted boots and was convinced by everyone else to get a pair of boots of haste, which I think push the limits of dickish, but...
They definitely brush up against it, but since Iovos can cast haste, it's not so much of a big deal.
All right. Can we like bring them back down to a reasonable level? Put a curse on them? They're Crocs?
I want to hear more about this war mud.
They'd have to be gators of haste, because alligators are faster than crocodiles are on land.
That's fair.
Nah. But there's the sport mode on the Crocs.
That's how you activate it. That's so cursed. Nelly is back in her embroidered Eudaimon dress, and wears her father's blanket around her shoulders like a cloak. But now, she gains power from her father's belongings, and transforming the baby blanket into a cloak of protection.
Excellent.
And Iovos managed to find what just looks like a simple piece of worn-in wood. Nothing ostentatious or glittery. It just looks like a piece of wood that's been handled by many hands for many, many decades. A simple wand of the Warcaster, +2.
I like it.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
A little dickish.
And some clarifications. Dana, to clarify the mechanics of the ability that you gained upon being Iovis' trueborn daughter, is that your Laurel ability can be used as a bonus action to exchange that one free spell you get with any spell he has currently prepared.
Okay, that makes sense.
I realized it could have sounded like I was saying you had his entire spell list freely available to you, the sorcerer, and that would just be a ridiculous fucking benefit. No,
that
thank
is,
you.
In fact, what it sounded like.
And sadly, you lose Mirthful Leaps.
Oh.
She can still
you don't
leap
know
mirthfully.
That. I haven't tried it.
But you, Gaspar, have something new entirely. As you struggle to reconcile the addition of a second soul, you realize you will never truly be whole. because the damage that was done is irreparable. However, that second soul is true to your nature. You now have the ability to cast Summon Undead at level 6. It must be in ghostly form, and it manifests itself as the Gaspar you once were, a headless spirit of vengeance.
Gaspar.
Gas.
Ghost Spar.
Ghast Spar.
Oh!
That's very good.
Yes.
As you take in the food and relax, you are all under the influence of a long rest. Feel free to heal soul damage as normal.
Gonna.
The clatters. All right. Everybody ready? Okay. When the time comes to break camp and ready for travel, the cartographer approaches you, Yavos. Why do you travel to the Bear Bastion?
I said we've been sent on a very important task by some very powerful entities, and it seems that's where the bell guides me. I was told by the Grand Celebrant that this bell could open the gates there. Perhaps that was prophecy enacting itself.
I see. I do not know a living soul that has entered and left.
There's a good chance that this is a one-way trip.
Then you have my sympathies. But the road calls.
He begins, walking with confidence and surety, despite the impossibility of the landscape.
Mouth half full of bacon, Wusha swallows and says, you know, been a while since I thought any trip we were taking wasn't a one-way one, especially when it was me concerned. If I can give a window to let you get out, and you need leave me behind, don't think twice about it. My time has already been numbered, and I'm living on what I got in a borrowed clock.
That's very kind, Wusha, but the task, if we don't complete it, we're still bound to it.
I understand.
We're not leaving anyone behind.
Not if we can help it.
You know, I've been thinking, when we get back from this, what if we pool our quin together, buy out our contracts, pay off our sloop, and just go?
At this, Yavos checks his bracelet. When you conjure the information for your available quin, you see that you have no limit.
I don't tell Gaspar.
Mouthful of bacon, my spider sense is tingling.
At legendary rank, there is no limit to the amount of glory you can spend. However, you are still held to the original rule, wherein you are only allowed one use per turn. I would say use it wisely, but guess it doesn't matter.
Use it wildly.
You are also limited to only a single combo move per combat.
Fair enough.
Understandable.
Gaspar lifts his wrist, looks at the bracelet. Oh, that's pretty cool, I guess.
It's like an unlimited gift card, but it's only to Barnes & Noble.
Wow. We can buy a boat. We can buy a summer boat. We can buy a guest boat.
So what do you say? We do this last quest, and then we all get our happy ending.
I say I'm a fan of that. I say the waves have been calling that song for a good long time, and I would be damn lucky if I were to have any of you on board.
I don't think that we have much future with the League, whether or not we succeed. And as sad as it is to close a book upon its completion, the joy of opening a new one is a beautiful thing.
Yes, the crown should make way for something new to grow.
The way back to the outer reel is long, but the time is short. As though hundreds of miles were crossed in a day. It is not until the faint and singular star that somehow blesses even these far lands with light and warmth moves behind the tower that you begin to realize that time has passed at all. The vertical horizon of the axis twists the light of the setting sun into a kaleidoscope of pinks, violets, and greens until only two parallel lines remain, reaching up into the sky as it continues upon its bizarre ecliptic. It is then, poetically, that the Lich Gate can be seen, her great dark wings already spread open to you. The pitted wrought iron spires, once mirror black, now bloom with rust, its marble posts showing the crack and wear of eons. Despite these things, it stands strong and defiant against the world of the living and the enemies of the dead. In the night, your dreams are many and vibrant, but all of them are bisected. A line through the middle, like the spine of a book. When you wake, the cartographer is already dressed. As you make your way to the Lich Gate,
You note that the field of wildflowers that once bloomed to either side of the grave road have fallowed. In their place, dry snarls of withered roots stripped and exposed by the lascivious winds of time. You pass beneath the arch of the gates, and you are overcome with the weariness of the dead. Somewhere within this hollow and hallow place, a grave bearing your name beckons with pale, slender fingers, promising a sleep too great and terrible to resist. In the distance, a citadel of bone rises from purple earth like a shattered femur bursting through a bruised wound. From those towers spills the weep of wounds to form the gossamer veil, the only river of the pale bastion. She lays down beside the grave road, pale waters lapping wearily at her bedside, washing silt of bone dust upon the shores, fertile with breathless eternity. There, in time, endless time, sprout the first seedlings of headstones, their shoulders pressing free of the earth's embrace to beckon the dead to their rest.
When last we were here, we wept for those who went beyond this place. And now it is we. I would not read the names on these stones if we have the opportunity.
I wish I could walk better with my eyes closed.
Touch not the water, Wusha.
Oh, that weren't a question in my mind. Nelly, will you do me a favor?
Of course, Wusha.
Will you lie to me about puppies and flowers and something nice for a change?
Yes.
Thank you.
Do you remember the puppies on the orchard?
Those were good dogs. Those were very good dogs.
Well, I named 57 of them.
Please list them all.
And she begins to, taking your hands in hers.
Ever along the bed skirts, the road twists, weaving through the hamlets and thorps of those that came before, whose gray denizens now tend the corpse fields and draw the waters of the vale, as though so mere a trickle might stave off the grim harvests of the things that slumber beneath the grave dirt.
As they move along the path, trepidatiously, Iavos kneels to pluck a dead flower and lay it across one of the unmarked stones. And as his hand returns, he holds a little pocket of necrotic energy in it, which he washes over himself like war paint as he casts false life.
Mm. Love it.
Your eyes betray you and flick to the stone and the name upon it. You do not recognize it, but you did once, from a past life, an old friend, a friend of the family, a childhood sweetheart, someone a boy has long since forgotten. Mausolea honor the sacred dead. Rest stops for haggard pilgrims. Their stone slabs proffer moments of respite. Yet in these places, moments become millennia. And respite, rest eternal.
Eyes still tightly shut and following Nelly's lead. Wish I was going to say.
Didn't you all mention there were a celebrant here? Seen a whole lot of death and not a whole lot of celebration.
The celebrant is the one that guides souls from the rest of Era to this place. He lies on the other side of the gate.
That seems like a really smart decision right now.
Taking up a vanguard position for the rest of the group, Hal's drifted to the back and pauses for a second as Iavos lays the flower on the grave. He roots around in his pack and finds his notes from the first time they were on Era, flips to the page of the drawing that he made of the Lich Gate when he looked into it, and is taken aback to see that within the gate there are four figures drawn. A human girl, a robed man, a mammoth bulk, and a shadow. All walking along a dead road.
Hal, it seems disrespectful having your friend being carried that way. May I do you a kindness?
Of course.
I'm going to use my feature Tokens of the Departed to turn Ahona's head that has been gently reposed into a circlet of gold. With your permission, may it grant its benefits of advantage on death saving throws and constitution saving throws to Hal.
I love that. That is fantastic.
If we're going to meet death, we should meet it respectfully.
Vast skulls peer over distant hills, their hungry eyes promising peace and purpose within yawning mouths of the rotting titans. It is under the watchful eye of such shattered remains that you come to your journey's end. The bone pillars of the necropolis are yet on the horizon. The second lich gate of gold and basalt, standing sentinel when the chill grips your spine. That place of extinction where even ghosts fear to haunt is not home to the conclave. This is. Time is a sculptor, the winds and rivers its tools. Centuries of patient labor have carved a natural amphitheater of stone and soil. Upon each terrace, crypts, graves, and tombs tower above you. The only sound, the gentle lapping of the river that separates you from the crescent of the conclave. Then, the rattle of bones and grinding of stone as coffin lids displace and clatter. The dead have risen. Skeletal forms crawl from the earth. Rotted whites rise from restless sleep. Ghouls step away from their grave meals to peer out from their warrens. Hundreds of the dead wear porcelain masks to hide their envious sneers. Silence falls as the High Council takes their seats. Upon the highest terrace, a vast shattered skull bears 5 thrones. In 4 of them, wraiths clad in black armor. At their center, a weary king wears an iron crown.
We are the nameless and restless dead. The Dread Conclave welcomes you, Scion of Death.
What did you call me?
Only what we know you to be. The Scion of Death. The bringer of the end. The gift. Sleep for the restless. A gift of peace.
Alvos looks to his allies. Looks to his daughter. Is this a trick?
I don't know. I'm still scared to look.
Please, blessed child, take unto yourself the blessings of the dead. Place your weapons along with the bell within the river.
Just me?
All of you. Those who travel with you are blessed too.
We have a task that we must finish, and these tools are that which we'll do it with.
So great is your task, and this shall aid you in it.
Look back to the group.
Well, my spear's done killed me before, so I'm not sure how much more, you know, death-soaked it can get, but I'm willing to try.
Iavos pulls the plowshare off of his back and buries it to the hilt in the soft soil below the river to see what happens.
As you do, necrotic energy crawls into it. The king raises his hand and gestures toward it as a symbol of the skeptic manifests itself on the blade.
Oh, shit.
I was going to put the skeptic's dagger in there. It's already done.
The plowshare now deals an additional 1d6 soul wound damage.
Does that work with spiritual weapon as I use it in?
I will say yes.
It's really its only purpose in life.
Wusha's going to open his eyes slowly and look at the water and take Storm Tusk and gently lower it in without getting his fingers wet.
The gold tarnishes like brass. And again, with a gesture, the skeptic symbol appears.
Using my ghostly chains, I'm going to pull it back out of the water.
One by one, you place the tools of your bloody trade in the river. And from them, you draw weapons designed to kill a god.
Hal, you're going to need this.
Trying to keep it from him for a long time now, Wusha has pulled the chivalric edge from his bag and hands it handle first to Hal.
Didn't expect to see this again. Well, honor thy liege in valor and faith. And I plunge the blade into the water.
And lastly, Iavos takes the Bell of the Thirdborn and submerges it into the river all the way up to his wrist.
It begins to ring through the river, every inch of the water emanating a deep and resonant hum. When you draw it, it seems no different, but the energy that courses through it is overwhelming. You now have the ability Call to Order, When channeling divinity to turn undead, you may force all creatures that fail to follow a single directive on their next turn, as though under the effect of dominate monster or person. After their turn, they proceed as though they were still under the effect of turn undead.
Hell yeah.
That's a good bell.
That's good.
So overtaken were you by the power of the bell, you had only barely noticed that your hand was the color of flesh.
That's weird.
Meat papa.
I'm all gray, but my stinky fingers.
Your purpose is clear. Yours is the blade that will bring the end, and we welcome it. We have waited long for the arrival of he who is kissed by death, and now you are here to free us.
But you call me the Scion of Death, and it feels untrue in my mouth.
What else could you be?
I do feel a connection to the end of things, but where you see death, I see sleep and a chance to dream.
No. No. You are the Scion of the one true death. He who was the last god to fall. He who hails from the Withering Acre, the blessed lands which surround the tower. He can deliver us from the real, acting as conduit for the god of death. He must, for all of our sake.
There is one at the Acre that has this power, but I know them as a sibling, as a loved and forgotten figure, not a mirror of myself. So we shall see, kings of death.
You must do this. You must remain here as our conduit, that we may end this place and bring peace to all. It was spoken by the last god. We have long waited for the end, for our eternal rest, and you must give it to us.
We seek the Darkwood. That is our charge.
I do not know your Darkwood, but I do know that you must do these things for us. You cannot be allowed to leave.
What is this true death you speak of?
Our bodies rot. Scions unable to fall. Servants of the last true god. This world decays around us. We give peace to those who cannot find it. But the end will never come. So long as this world exists, it must be ended, and you must end it.
Yavos, we can't be staying here. I know there's five chairs and all, but we got work to do elsewhere.
I agree with you, Usha. And while the bell guided me here, I hold no allegiance to these creatures. I sympathize with their need for an end. But I came here for another purpose, and it seems they wish to stop us from achieving that.
It is not you who must serve us in allegiance, it is us who serve you. We will give you everything you desire, conjure whatever material needs and wealth you need. We simply require that you remain and give us the gift.
We can't. Our war is elsewhere, and it's not yet won.
All wars end in the face of the true death.
And you say you will serve Iavos, but who is this last true god that you speak of? Is it Iavos?
No. We believe he is Scion to the one true god, the god of death, he who was last to fall.
You have waited so long for this true death. If I am bound to return here and bring it to you and stay, can it not wait until we are done with our journey?
We foresee that your journey ends in your demise, and this is not something we are prepared to tolerate.
You can't possibly ask my father to stay here.
We are not asking.
At this, the ground begins to shake. From it, hands arise. Two great titans, carven of dead flesh, crawl from the earth. The four knights of the conclave step forward and draw their blades as the army of the dead closes in.
The
Fallow Crown has come face to face with the Dread Council of the Pale Bastion, a conclave of the Undying whose purposes are as grim as they are mysterious.
Thion of the True Death? That's heavy.
I'm not so certain. These crumbling corpses don't strike me as being terribly in the know as regards to the nature of error. It astonishes me to imagine a populace with so little interest in a plane so rich with mystery. And yet these error rites, errorists, errorians, are content to dwell in a constant state of uncertainty.
It's important to remember that planes without mass scry tech have limited options for the transmission of news and other data. More so on a plane such as Error, where even the relatively common phenomena of arcane magic are extraordinarily rare.
It worries me to imagine that the Crown either cannot find or cannot rely on any answers that they manage to mine from the stone walls of Errory Demeanor.
God, you guys are dull. Dirk, get up. Be funny.
Did I get him? Where's my score?
110 to 115. Isadora pulled ahead at the last second with a real sheet flapper just as you were slipping into stage 4. It was quite the nail biter.
Damn. Good for him, though. It's not every day that a young upstart has a chance at a 1v1 with the pro. Good game. Good game. I need electrolytes. I know our boys and precious baby girl are level 20, but a lich is a tough fight in the best of times, and this cat's sporting a whole armada.
Actually, Sarge, an armada is...
A fleet of ships, not an army. I know. It's a figure of speech, bud. Not everybody needs you to tell them how the world is. Holy sh**. Alright, new scoreboard for sick burns.
Let's just get back to the fight.
You'd like that, wouldn't you? Woo-wee! God damn the clapback! You got one from the Sassmaster.
Enough.
Yes, sir.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
Item number 36786. And while it lasts, we have 50 of these left in stock, and they are moving fast. 4 payments of 99 drac.
This is the Corsair Supreme Sword Collection.
This comes with 14 swords.
14 swords.
And 4 bonus daggers.
I never seen so many swords all at once before.
You get the 14 swords, ranging from small, sneaky, one-handed to the Corsair Supreme two-handed Exterminator X. And they all come with sheaths made right here in Leone.
Those are some nice sheaths, Ted.
But if you call in the next 10 minutes, we'll include the cursed War Axe of Karvast, which we can't show here on screen.
Take the soul right out of your kids, whammo.
But believe me, it is a sight to behold. Here is an artist's rendition.
Now, this is the cursed War Axe of Karvast, part of this 18-piece Corsair Supreme collection, all for just four payments of 99 drachma.
Let's take a caller. Caller, you're on the scry.
Hey guys, I just got the Corsair swords, and I want to say there's definitely 14 of them. I didn't get the cursed axe. I gave that to my father-in-law.
Yeah, I bet you did.
And I know it sounds crazy, but I can carry all of them. I get a few on my back, three on each hip, and the bonus daggers in my boots, a couple strapped to my legs. I tell you, boys, folks at the tavern sure gave me a look, but I felt great.
Dang, that is a fashion statement. Again, this is item 36789 here on the Merchant Shopping Network. Taking all calls, we only have 44 units left.
Merchant Shopping Network. It's 3 a.m. and your gold isn't going to spend itself.
Hey, all you cuties. I almost forgot to record this mid-roll today, but thankfully my brain starts working around 1 a.m. The episodes are getting heavy with hot drama and juicy with epic combat, so I'll keep it short. We want your support. We need your support. It feels so, so good. And it also makes the show possible to produce. That includes following us and tagging us on social media, telling friends and family, and of course, joining the Patreon for all of the ever-changing rewards that await you there. If you're on the Patreon and you feel like you're missing some rewards or something isn't right, you can always reach out to us on the Discord or the company email and we will fix it as soon as we can. We want to make sure you're getting your money's worth, on top of just supporting this show. Our current legendary mid-roll teams are the Titans Rise, the Twilight Concord, the Forgotten Legacy, and this week's featured team, the Ceaseless Horde, with Dave Mladenov, Daniel Pickens-Jones, Patch Berryman, and Jeff Ammons. To get a personal message read on the show or for possible advertising opportunities, reach out to admin@slapdashstudios.com. If you need to ship us anything, it's 2511 Southeast Pine Street, Portland, Oregon, 97214. No homemade food, please. Follow us on YouTube for new episodes of the LUQ streamed and hosted by Dana on Monday nights and ongoing Pokemon stuff that me and Zach do whenever we have time. This weekend is Zach's wedding followed by Rose City Comic Con, so we hope to see some faces there at one or both of these events. We will be hungover and it will be a ton of fun. So wish us luck, and if you haven't yet, shoot Zach a congratulations. But that's enough out of me, let's get you back to the battle axes.
Are you a practitioner of the arcane arts who's never been on a quest or faced any kind of real danger?
Well, I want to go on a quest, but everything outside is so big and scary. Well,
there's a chance you just aren't cut out for the life of action and adventure, due to the limitations that nature and the gods gave you.
Golly, I hope it's not contagious.
Ha! No, dum-dum. Just unfortunate. Well, I'm here to tell you that there's no shame in being a stay-at-home wizard. Well, everyone knows the eight old-fashioned working man schools of magic. Conjuration for make-em-ups, necromancy for wake-em-ups, evocation for blow-em-ups, abjuration for cover-em-ups, transmutation for change-em-ups, enchantment for grease-em-ups, divination for check-em-outs, and illusion for fake-em-outs. But did you know that there's a ninth school of magic? One that's perfect for the softer folk, the milk brains and the twinkle toes. Why, it's domesticancy, the magic for stay-at-home wizards. Can't wash the dishes without summoning some mage gloves. Need to clean the kitchen surfaces? Try a counterspell. Keep drinks icy cold with a refreshing frost touch. And keep your floors and front yard clear of debris with some good old-fashioned disintegration.
Wowee! You mean I can be a real wizard too?
I mean, maybe. Sure. I don't know. Let's say yes. That'll shut her up. Ask your husband, brother, or paternal figure to call for you today and ask about domesticancy, the magic for stay-at-home wizards.
Oh, no shit, a map.
They're taped together. This is a bad sign.
This is the fucking sickest shit.
This is pretty cool.
What the fuck?
We have a double map. Set up by Bree.
Double map.
It's so cool.
Wrigley's double map. There is a giant skull at the top and the skeleton of the being that it presumably came from just splayed out. It looks so fucking great. If you've ever thought about getting on the Patreon, now is the time to see this bastard.
That's true. Contrast is real nice.
I know how long she spent on this, and it was an impressive piece of work.
It's so fucking cool.
To make this easier, I'm going to keep it close to me.
Mm-hmm.
Here is the lich.
Ooh. Ooh. What the fuck's going on with his head? I love it.
He's got Loki horns.
Hell yeah.
He's high key alarming.
Here are the Death Knights.
Ooh.
I just realized this means we're fighting a lich and four Death Knights.
Hell yeah, we are. Bring the fuck on.
This is a high CR encounter, I'll tell you what.
Here are the Devourers.
Oh, no.
Oh, big guys. No. That one's a chunky lad. That one's his small, girthy brother.
That's his freshly born son.
My child, never talk to me or my son again.
My bone child.
The unfruit of my unloins.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I'm looking at this going, what the? Are we playing Warhammer?
There is only one creature here who has HP. That is the Lich. The others all work on minion rules, with one exception. It only happens with soul damage. The ghouls take one hit. The others take three. They also have the ability to aid each other. And you'll see what that means later.
I hope we don't, actually. I hope we win so decisively that they never have an opportunity to aid each other at all.
Damn right.
I cast go away.
Ghoul away.
Ghoul away.
Roll for initiative.
Yep, there it is.
Point.
All right. Michael, what is the initiative order?
At the top of the round, we'll have the lair action, followed by Penny, then Gaspar, Iavos, then Wusha, both at 14, the Death Knight, then Hal, then the Lich, Ghouls, and Devourers all back-to-back at the very end.
Oh, that's awful.
Beautiful.
Did I miss anything?
I think you're good.
All right.
You missed the part where we survive this.
We gotta deal with the bad chunk.
Just to clarify how this works, the Death Knights and the Devourers have multiple hit soul wound minion rules. The Ghouls have normal minion rules, and the Lich simply has HP.
Simply.
Mm-hmm.
It will be very simple.
I remember when things had normal HP.
And therefore, with that said, we're going to go ahead and get started with...
At the top's the lair action.
He is not going to take a lair action for various reasons.
After the lair action is Penny at 26.
Fast!
So fast.
Those hooves were holding you back.
They were. Like, once you get used to all the little short bones... Feet, man.
The flip-flap of them grippers are speeding you up.
The joke's on them. I know Papa's greatest spell. Blast! All of you are blessed.
That's awesome. I was going to cast Bless. Hooray, daughter!
I thought you said blast. I thought you were casting magic missile.
I need more practice at enunciating it. And then I will give Bardic Inspiration to Iavos.
Beautiful.
So that's what it feels like to be blessed. This is great.
Hashtag blessed.
Mm-hmm. B-L-E-S-T.
Does that conclude your turn, Dana?
Yes, sorry.
After Dana, legendary action?
Beautiful. He also takes no legendary action.
Cool. All right. That makes it Gaspar at 22.
So Gaspar will draw the Skeptic's dagger. Krom will appear from the shadows, catching it. In the blink of an eye, they are both phantoms, running as if there were catwalks and ledges over the water of death.
Mm.
They will then, like trapeze artists, begin acrobatically moving just above the ghouls. We both can fly.
Can you go incorporeal, throw a weapon, move, and summon at once?
I can, as a flourish, drop something in my hand, mm-hmm. or you know, drop something. I can, as an action, summon undead.
Okay.
I can then, as a bonus action, turn into a phantom.
Okay.
We can then both use our move actions to go towards the devourer. Other than that, Krom still has an action. So, with a somersault, Gaspar catches Krom's feet, who then, like a pendulum, swings with blade out towards one of these ghouls.
Marvelous.
That is going to be an 18, I believe.
Okay. That definitely hits the ghoul.
That is going to do
Doesn't matter, they're minions.
Doesn't matter, they're minions. That is going to do a fatal amount of damage.
Fair enough. Please remove the ghoul, just set it aside.
And that is our turn.
I like it. That is the legendary action, which he will take. Does a 23 hit your ghost's AC?
23 will hit.
Beautiful. He is going to take 21 damage as a spear of frost manifests itself in the air and seems to almost solidify the spirit energy, and then it crumbles out of his body.
Krom is still hovering.
Beautiful. That's going to bring us to
Iavos.
Does the water in front of us look too deep to wade?
It does. You would have to have a swim speed.
Gotcha. It changes my plan very minorly. One thing is for certain, with his bonus action, Iavos pulls the plowshare off of his back, humming with the energy of the Skeptic's Crest, and releases it into the air to do its violent will towards the group of ghoulies. So I can summon it up to 20 feet away, and then it can move 20. So it's going to end just adjacent to this hombre. So flying out with the spirit of warfare, the spiritual weapon is going to strike into that front ghoul.
I like it.
That is a 25.
That will hit.
Neato burrito. That is 19 force damage and 4 soul wound damage.
It's again, dead.
It's a minion, so lay you down to sleep, little baby. And with my action, having realized that I cannot ford this river on my own two spindly legs, and trying to make things easier for my allies, I'm going to target the land that I can see in front of us, right near the middle of the map, which seems to be the only stable kind of platform before we get towards the big bosses on their thrones. And I am going to manifest an ethereal key, turn a door, and open an arcane gate.
Love that.
Ooh.
These two D6s will represent where you can enter and exit the arcane gate as part of your movement.
I was going to swim.
I was going to get my nipples wet.
I was going to cast water walk.
There you go.
You've summoned me here and given me an ultimatum and told my friends they cannot leave. If you wish for a final death, we will bring it to you.
Yes, please. Very good.
And that ends my toin.
Krom takes another 20 as another lance of frost rips through him.
Damn.
Douglas.
Damn, Douglas.
Still hovering.
Turns out 20th level cantrips are pretty fucking good.
Oh, they are.
Put on my boy.
Whoosh.
All right. Whoosh looks very carefully at the land before him and all the dead things splayed out around it.
Gaspar had to go and walk among them, didn't he? Oh, well.
Wusha is going to bust out one of his non-magic spears and arc his arm behind him as far as he can go and throw it way up into the air. As he does, he brings clouds and lightning around it to strike the spear and split it into thousands of tiny fragments. I'm going to cast Conjure Volley. I am casting a spell for what it's worth.
Beautiful. You are way too far away to counter anyway.
Sick.
60 feet.
This spell has a 40-foot radius.
Beautiful.
It's fucking huge. So I can place it to hit everything except the Devourer on Queen's West, Gaspar, Old Gaspar, Krom, and that ghoul at Queen's North-Northwest.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So you're hitting these as well?
Yes.
Okay. Beautiful.
All of them have to make me a dexterity saving throw, DC 16.
The Lich succeeds. One of the Death Knights fails. Another Death Knight fails. Another one succeeds. Another one fails.
Two pass, two fail.
One Devourer fails. And I'm going to roll the others as a group.
Go ahead.
They all succeed.
Excellent. They all still take half damage.
That's okay.
From a whopping 33 damage to those who failed, 16 to those who passed.
Excellent. Well, because it isn't soul damage, the Devourer and the Death Knights don't mind.
That's fair.
And when the Lich takes his damage, one of the Death Knights is going to use their reaction to interpose, and he is going to take the damage instead.
What an asshole.
Which nullifies it.
All right, that's understandable.
but pretty much all the ghouls die.
That's kind of what I was hoping
Even
for.
If they didn't have minion rules, they'd still be dead.
Get fucked, nerds. After the rain of needles clears and Wusha sees what's left standing, he says, well, better get in there. He's going to run through the arcane gate and out the other side.
I like it.
Busting out both of his spears as he goes.
When you step into the arcane gate,
for a brief moment while you're in that space, it looks like you're looking out of Iavos's eyes like windows.
Mm.
On the other side, Wusha turns around and looks to Iavos and says, "That was weird!"
Krom takes 24 damage as another lance of ice shoots through him.
Oh, yeah. It was aiming for Gaspar, and Krom took the bullet for him. Krom is down.
Krom is down? Excellent. He does not fade. He simply stays there.
All right.
Well, that's 60 damage you didn't have to take, so.
Right. No kidding. After that legendary action, it is your turn with the Death Knights.
I like it.
I don't. Me no likey.
The two Death Knights on the flank immediately take action, moving with extreme focus and clarity. They close the distance between themselves and Wusha, at which point both of them raise their hands as a ball of black fire manifests.
Uh-oh.
They hurl both of them at the people across the river.
Mm.
I would like Penny, Iavos, and Halifon to all roll me a dexterity saving throw.
Is this a spell?
No.
You do have +2 from Hal's aura on your dex saves.
Thank you.
You're also blessed.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
We could be blessed.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard Law make that sound before.
I don't think I ever thought I would say Iavos got a 28 on his dexterity saving throw.
Damn.
Dirty 20.
Beautiful.
Filthy.
I rolled a natural 20 for a total of 24.
Excellent.
Yes, 24. Sick.
Well, that's fantastic. You are still going to take 35 fire damage and 35 necrotic damage. That's already halved.
All
right.
Good start.
So we take a total of 70?
Yes.
As a reaction, I'm going to cast Absorb Elements on fire.
I like that.
And while I take the full damage, the membranous armor is going to attune to necrotic damage.
I like that.
I'm going to make my concentration check.
You do have +2 for my aura.
And I'm blessed.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it's going to help, but...
DC's, what, 17?
It's two checks of 17.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I have to do it twice, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
My first save was 30. My second save was 18.
Nice.
You're no longer blessed, everyone.
No, that's you succeeded.
You succeeded.
17 is what you get.
17 was your DC.
Oh, shit.
You fucking sliced that bread. I don't know what it means, but you did it.
Uh-huh.
And you're blessed.
Yay.
Yeah, my aura kept you afloat there.
Thank you. I needed it.
I was really wondering how many of you were going to get across the river before that happened.
I rolled a 9 for my initiative.
That's after making the save.
Yeah.
It would have just killed me.
I was never worried about y'all succeeding or failing the save.
Yeah.
I just knew it was going to do a lot. Blessedly, they can only do it once a day. Unfortunately, there's two more of them.
Oh, yeah.
Good. Those guys.
The other two Death Knights are not going to take an action. At least not one you can see. And that makes it.
After the Death Knights, since the Lich is out of legendary actions, we jump straight to Hal. As an action, Hal's going to turn around, look at Iavos, and say, "I can't protect you over here. You're going to have to get to the other side if you want any help from us." I lay a hand on you. The Eye of Inquiry on Hal's chest opens with golden light, and Hal casts Death Ward on you, Iavos.
Cool.
And then Hal sort of does a spin maneuver into the arcane gate as he draws Patrimony. And stepping out on the other side, I will charge the Devourer that is next to Gaspar.
Excellent.
But that's an action. And as a bonus action, I rage. That ends my turn and makes it the Lich.
And the Devourers?
The Devourers are at the very bottom.
Ah, beautiful.
Yeah. They rolled a 3. They're dead last.
The Lich almost indifferently gestures as a glow of invulnerability manifests itself around it and its two allies.
Mm. Bollocks.
That's cheating, that is.
Please, you have no idea what you are doing. Simply remain here. Let us end this.
Yeah, it's worked for me this far in life, you shit. After the Lich is the Ghoul, because there's one not dead yet.
I'm rooting for him.
The Ghoul turns and attacks Gaspar.
The frontline Ghoul.
He misses horribly as his claws clatter against the leather armor.
Are we doing that fucking
new Mario Party playthrough where you have to try to make the NPC win, and the NPC is that ghoul. Yeah.
Nobody touched that precious boy.
After the ghoul is the devourers at the end of the round.
Good to know.
Hate that.
Thank you. I just wanted to make sure I didn't have that wrong. The devourer reaches forward and grabs the ethereal form of Krom and pushes it down deep into the gnashing maw. Immediately, you can feel the soul being dissolved. It is a pain unlike anything you have ever imagined. And Krom, in his semi-corporeal state, awakens screaming. Half of your soul is about to be destroyed.
Good God! That Gashy Gnasher just housed Krom's soul like he was Sarge at the deviled egg platter.
I cannot imagine the consequences of having one soul consumed in the maw of a devourer. But if the crown cannot free Krom, Gaspar may suffer a fate worse than death.
It's not like he's a dog with some tinfoil in his choppers neither. The FC's gotta KO this SOB and cut him free, and I'm not sure they got the turn economy for it.
You're not wrong. At this level of play, it's a numbers game. And frankly, the fallow crown doesn't have the actions to spare.
I'm sorry, did I walk into a stable? When did y'all become such naysayers? This is the fallow crown we're talking about. They've been through worse scrapes than this. Besides, I've never known Gaspar to need help cutting open anybody.
True enough, but even if Krom is freed, the damage output of these Death Knights is considerable. And with the Lich throwing a bubble of invulnerability, things have gotten complicated.
I don't want to be crass or anything, but how exciting is it to see a proper Lich?
Oh my God, that's been ages.
I'll admit, I'm way into it.
Right? A freaking Lich?
So cool.
So classic. And with an undead horde, no less. Freaking Death Knight gods.
That kind of CR can really brown a lackey's khakis. But I don't think we're going to see any trouser spoilage today. These heroes have clenched back the chocolate chowder through thicker throngs than this. They're souped up and stewing with might and magic. And with the combined divine power of the family Isadora, these late risers are as good as gazpacho. Apparently I'm craving soup. Mikey, head down to the ladle wagon and get me a quart of hot brown. Things are about to get heavy.
Oh.
Jesus.
Get fucking devoured,
oh,
nerd.
Devour.
He just got that. He's still paying it off.
Him eat, Johnny eat Soul World.
Hungry, hungry, helpless.
This is not looking
hungry, hungry,
guys,
hell
spawn. This battle map is a fucking chaos incarnate right
Come
now.
Come on.
God, I'm so ready.
First, guest bar's a snack. Now I'm soul food.
You got to figure out how to get your soul out of that belly, my boy.
We've killed seven things, and I don't think our position on this map looks any better than it did.
We've dealt seven damage this fight. Yeah.
That's true.
It's a lot of setup.
We've taken 210.
I did try to make things easy on you and get rid of all those pesky little ghouls.
Thank you. No, that was great.
Yeah.
If I could just not get hit by another dire ball, that would be great.
Dire ball.
Actually, 270 damage we've taken.
The devil's dodgeball. Yeah, those hit fucking hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go around the table. Let's hear some fave moans. I mean, admittedly, there wasn't that much, but you know.
Let's see. I like all the dipping.
The dipping?
Oh, I was going to say the dipping. How dare you do that immediately again?
Of the skeptic salsa?
Yep. Just a little bit of dipping into the skeptic salsa.
Right?
It's kind of ironic that it's being used against them almost immediately.
Oh, yeah.
It's just great.
Take a dunk in that goalie water.
We were a little rushed for time. I wish we milked it just a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But walk into Bone Citadel, dip the weapons, kill gods. What more can you ask for?
It's everything you've ever wanted.
All I've ever wanted.
Nice and concise. I really liked Nelly's idea for what to do after everything is over. Just get in a fucking car and drive. Just get in the boat and go. Get in the boat. We're going shopping.
A long vacation to not Danger Town.
We can retire after this.
We are the danger. I think my favorite was the reveal that Iavos might be the Scion of Death.
At least that's what they're saying. That's the story they're weaving. Good.
That's what they think. That's pretty cool. I thought death carried a scythe, not a claymore, but you know what? Death can do what it wants.
Scythe on of death.
Look, it's not the planetoid I would choose to live on, but if my father is here, then...
I mean, death also isn't known of taking his scythe and just letting it fly around and do shit.
He should be.
Yeah, it's probably a good thing that we didn't have an extended dipping scene, because all I could think was like, Murder, She Wrote. Dunk the cool staff in there. My favorite part, though, was that we got to see the cartographer again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he took mine.
Because I like his voice. Yeah, fuck you, Law.
I just like the cartographer. Good character. Good guy. I mean, I, as a human that like story, appreciates difficult choice shit. But also, it's like, I just met you guys. Like, you telling me something that feels wrong in my heart and saying we got to stay here forever? Mm-hmm. It's a big ask. I don't even know you.
Nobody tells us where to live.
Buy me a drink first. I empathize deeply with your need to sleep, but let me ease into it.
Fair enough. My favorite moment was my writing, so fuck all you. I felt real good about that stuff.
Hell yeah, dude.
I would say the design of this encounter, because it's very rich, but also I'm not going to say that until we survive it, so fuck you.
Also, Zach said he didn't have any special mechanics for this one, so saying the design of this encounter is particularly good means you're like, oh yeah, vanilla combat is great, Zach.
I really was like, all right, what can I do to just be like, just D&D, y'all? Like, these are standard encounters. Admittedly, really hard D&D, but...
Sure.
Yeah. No, I was early in the episode, so I'd almost forgotten to mention it, but the first description of when we got here with the fucking face bees talking shit, and oh, it was really good descriptions.
Face bees talking shit.
Look, it's not a purely vanilla encounter, though.
No, the minion stuff is
just like the sheer number of stuff. But the thing is, I have in the past vocally been kind of mid on the idea of soul damage, but this is where it got interesting, because requiring soul damage for all the big baddies means I can't hit them with spells. Otherwise, I would be fireball bombing this entire battle map.
I felt very good about that. I was like, what can I do to make it so that you do have to hit these enemies more than once and not just deal damage?
Yeah, I'm actually glad that you took out the minions, Woosh, because that was actually what I was originally going to do, but now it looks like I'm going to be healing.
Mm-hmm. It's all right. I got another plan for us. This is going to stop being vanilla when we cover it in our body chocolate.
There you go.
Why? Why do you do this?
Is that blood or poop?
Yes.
Soap. Anyway, thank you all so much for listening to this episode. Thank you, Sam Hediger, the editor, for editing it. It is a weird one. We keep doing these weird ones where we're like, oh shit, we have to re-record this thing because somebody messed something up, or it's like, oh crap, can I add a thing? And then we go back and do it, and it is a mess. So I love you, Sam. Thank you so much. Bree, this is easily one of my favorite maps you've ever done, if so not my number one
favorite.
It's
very so cool.
It's spooky.
I can't see the map. There's too many enemies.
She fucking nailed it, and she did it in so little time. Like, we're talking like I think a week total. And like, we're talking like a few hours a day. This is a wild speed.
God damn.
Yeah. She's really amazingly good. If you want a commissioner, you should just go ahead and reach out to her on Instagram at Golden Stylist. You can also find her, just go to goldenstylist.com, and it should redirect to her Patreon. Thank you all so much again. I'm really, really excited for this chapter. I'm really excited to see what happens next. And until it happens, we wish you luck.